Chapter 4. Lan Wangji swam back to consciousness just in time to see Jiang Cheng walking away. He rolled over and grabbed his ankle, and Jiang Cheng nearly jumped out of his skin. "Don't leave me here," he hissed. Jiang Cheng knelt next to him, where he had hidden him in the tall grass. "What else am I supposed to do?" he asked. "That's the third time you've collapsed. How can I bring you into Lotus Pier, which is crawling with Wen soldiers, if you're going to keep blacking out like this?" Lan Wangji took a deep breath and tried to recenter himself. Jiang Cheng wasn't wrong, and he couldn't help being affected by whatever it was Wei Wuxian was going through. But at the same time, he couldn't help but think that Jiang Cheng would only get killed or captured if he went to Lotus Pier by himself. He couldn't forget the arguments on the previous day. Was it the previous day? He was losing track of time completely. About recovering their parents' bodies. Even if he seemed rational now, he was altogether too likely to lose his cool once he got inside and saw the Wen clan desecrating his family home. Lan Wangji couldn't even blame him for that. He just knew he couldn't let it happen. "I'll be fine."
"But what if you're not?" Jiang Cheng whispered. "What if you collapse inside?"
"If I collapse inside," Lan Wangji said, holding his gaze, "leave me there. Take my brother's sword back to him. Find Wei Ying."
Jiang Cheng swore under his breath. "No wonder you and Wei Wuxian get along," he said. "You're just as stubborn as he is."
Lan Wangji nodded. Jiang Cheng helped him to his feet.
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Wangji tried, hoping he could get through enough to check in, maybe find out what was happening so he could prepare himself for further eventualities. But there was nothing but cold silence. He hated it. But at the moment, cold silence was better than distracting noise, so he steeled his nerves as they approached Lotus Pier. As Jiang Cheng had said, there were Wen soldiers everywhere, but they were able to evade them, mostly because Jiang Cheng knew the buildings so well, always finding a quick turn to make or a place to hide. Wen Chao was in the courtyard, lording over his victory. Jiang Cheng's fists clenched at his sides, and Lan Wangji quickly gripped his elbow to keep him steady. He hoped that wherever Wei Wuxian was, he couldn't hear what Lan Wangji was thinking. Wen Chao's excesses were sickening even to him, and it wasn't his family's bodies on display. But as disgusting as Wen Chao was, it played in their favor. If he was going to hold a victory party, there would be alcohol. Alcohol would loosen tongues, and that, along with Wen Chao's nature, made it likely he would brag about whatever horrible thing they had done to Wei Wuxian. As long as they could find a relatively secure place to listen from, with a bit of luck, they would know where Wei Wuxian was within a few hours. And if he didn't brag, well, at least the courtyard of soldiers would be easier to deal with when they were in their cups. Jiang Cheng, thank the heavens, seemed to be thinking along the same lines. "This way," he whispered, and gestured for Lan Wangji to follow him down a narrow hallway. It put them outside, on a narrow ledge that had a few benches on it, positioned so people could sit and watch the sunrise. But the noise from the courtyard carried well, and there were a few small windows so they could even take a quick glance when it was safe. He was peering through one of those windows when he heard a woman's voice say, "Don't move." Naturally, he moved, half turning to see a needle leveled at his throat at a sharp upward angle. He blinked at Wen Qing. She blinked at him.
Han Guangjun.
Wen Gunyong. Jiang Cheng said, practically shoving Lan Wangji aside, which was somewhat uncomfortable given how close the needle was to him. At least he had the sense to keep his voice low. Lan Wangji watched as heartbreak etched onto his face.
You were involved in this?
No, Wen Qing said, looking uneasy. She sighed and said, I came to collect my brother, who seemed to have some foolhardy idea about helping Wei Wuxian, but I haven't found him yet. Anying, I mean, I'm not looking for Wei Wuxian. Why are you here?
We are looking for Wei Wuxian, Jiang Cheng said. Do you know where he is?
Wen Qing looked over her shoulder. He's not here, so you should go. If they find you,
I can't leave until I know where Wei Wuxian is, Jiang Cheng said.
His hand tightened on Zijian like he was thinking about using it, but then loosened.
Wen Gunyong, please, he's my brother.
Wen Qing closed her eyes for a long moment, undoubtedly thinking of Wen Ying and how fiercely she cared for him. I don't know where he is, she said. I've been all over the place, and he's definitely not here. But when I find An Ying, will you watch over him for me? Make sure he doesn't do anything foolish? I can probably find out where Wen Chao took Wei Wuxian without arousing suspicion.
Yes, Jiang Cheng said, tears spilling over. Yes, we'll watch over Wen Ying for you. Thank you.
He grasped her hands, squeezing hard.
Thank you.
And not here. Get to the docks. Wait in one of the boats. I'll send Wen Ying to you once I find him. She saw Lan Wangji open his mouth.
You too, Hong Guanjun. You are even more conspicuous than Jiang Gongxi is. Go!
For some reason, Lan Wangji found himself obeying her automatically. They walked along the ledge until it stopped, and then Jiang Cheng suggested swimming the rest of the way, as they were less likely to be seen. Lan Wangji agreed, and the two of them slid into the water. Waiting at the boats was agony. Lan Wangji couldn't stop wondering where Wen Qing was, what she was doing, if she would betray them, if she would be successful. Even after Wen Ying joined them, looking much like a puppy who had been fiercely scolded, tail tucked between his legs, he couldn't stop thinking about it. He tried to meditate and reach out to Wei Wuxian, but still couldn't get in touch with him. There were a dozen reasons he could think of why, each one worse than the last. Finally, Wen Qing appeared on the docks, her mouth set in an unhappy line. She immobilized the guards watching the docks with a few quickly thrown needles, then crouched down. Before I say anything, she said, will you swear to protect my brother? To take him back to the supervisory office in Yilin and tell no one he was here? Lan Wangji and Jiang Cheng exchanged a look, but there was really no room to argue. Both of them agreed. Wen Qing let out a breath. They threw him into the burial mounds.
Denial, visceral and gut-twisting, tore through Lan Wangji. The reason he could no longer get in touch with Wei Wuxian was because there was nothing left of him anymore. It was amazing he had survived as many hours as he had. Not only was his body certainly dead by now, but his soul had been ripped to shreds as well.
Wei Ying,
he thought, reaching out to nobody. He couldn't stop himself.
Chan?
For the first time in hours, he got a response. His breath caught in his throat.
Wei Ying,
please.
Wei Wuxian's voice was disjointed, agonized, but it was still him.
No, how much longer?
We're coming, Wei Ying. Hold on.
I'm sorry, Wen Qing said. Han Guanjun, you look like you need medical treatment, will you?
He's not gone.
Lan Wangji said, more to Jiang Cheng than Wen Qing.
I can still hear him. If you'll take Wen Ying to Yilin as we promised, I can ride the sword and go to fetch him.
You can hear him. Wen Qing dropped into the boat, frowning. What do you mean?
You can't go by yourself,
Jiang Cheng said at the same time.
We made a promise to Wen Gunyoung. She held up her end of the bargain, and your own sister is still here, hidden. We can't leave her waiting. I can't take all of you with me. Get your sister. Take her to Cloud Recesses. I will find Wei Ying and meet you there.
To Wen Qing, he said,
you and your brother should also take refuge in Cloud Recesses.
Wen Qing's jaw set stubbornly. How many times do I have to tell you that I am loyal to Wen Rohan?
Jia Jia,
Wen Yang said quietly, studying the floor of the boat. Lan Wangji felt sharply aware that he didn't really have time for this, but equally aware that Wei Wuxian was going to desperately need medical treatment once they found him. Treatment that he didn't know if the Lan sect would be able to provide. Wen Qing had been taking care of Wen Rohan for years. She, more than anybody, would know how to counter the effects of resentful energy.
You are loyal to Wen Rohan because he took you in after your parents died. Why? It is his fault that it happened to begin with. He removed the yin iron from the dancing statue, and that is the reason it came to life. Your loyalty is based on a false claim that he cared for you. He did not. He is using you, and you are letting him.
Wen Qing looked even more angry. You speak of things that you don't understand.
You think I don't understand what the Wen clan is?
Lan Wangqi asked.
Wen Rohan sent his son to burn Cloud Recesses. He murdered our disciples, people I had known since childhood. The bodies of Jiang Wenyin's parents are displayed not 500 feet from where you're standing. Wen Chao threw Wei Ying into the burial mounds after destroying his golden core because it wasn't cruel enough to simply kill him. That is who you claim loyalty to.
I am not responsible for the act of all of Qishan Wen, Wen Qing retorted.
Yes, you are, Lan Wangqi said. As long as you stand by them, as long as you support Wen Rohan with your skill and look the other way as he commits atrocities, your hands are soaked with blood. This is a chance for you to break away from them. I doubt you will get another.
You!
Jia Jia,
Wen Ying said again, finally looking up. I won't go back to Yilin.
An Yang, no,
Wen Ying said, a few tears sliding down his cheeks. He's right. You know he's right. How much longer can we stand by? What will we look away from next? How bad does it have to get before you admit we can't?
Everything I've done, Wen Qing choked out, has been to keep you safe, An Ying.
I know, Wen Ying said. But I'm tired of being safe, Jia Jia. I don't want to live the rest of my life being safe while my friends are killed. I want to be right. Lan Wangji couldn't wait any longer. The argument would have to proceed without him. He looked at Jiang Cheng and said,
get them to Cloud Recesses. Wei Ying will need her care.
Jiang Cheng nodded and gripped his shoulder. I'll see you there, he said, like it was a promise. Lan Wangji thrust Shouyue into the air and went aloft. Wei Wuxian was falling. The air whipped around him, tearing the breath from his lungs. Dark, cruel energy swirled, forcing its way through his mouth, his nose, filling his body, freezing every inch of him that it encountered. He couldn't breathe, he couldn't move, he couldn't think.
Wei Ying.
He was suspended in time. He had no idea how long he had been there, how long it had been since he had grasped the hilt of the sword from Xuan Wu. There was nothing except the crushing emptiness inside him and the dark power that was now rushing in to fill the void. He'd known when he chose to take the sword that it was a risk. He didn't regret it. He could still see Wen Chao's smirk as Wen Chuliu had put his hand around Wei Wuxian's throat. He could still see the tears in Madame Yu's eyes as she clutched Yang Cheng to her chest. He could still hear his brother and sister crying as they struggled to get free from Zijian. He could still hear the Wen soldiers lining up the bodies of his family and friends.
"Do you want revenge?"
the Dark Power asked, and the answer was unmistakably, irrevocably, yes.
"Wei Ying, where are you?"
He couldn't move. Resentful energy was just another kind of energy, he had said. Why shouldn't he be able to use it, he had asked. Now a voice whispered, "Because it will use you."
"Wei Ying, answer me. I'm here, but I can't find you."
"Lan Chan."
"Clear your mind. For once in your life, focus."
A high-pitched, hysterical laughter escaped Wei Wuxian. He was focused. He couldn't have been more focused. It was just that he wasn't focused on what Lan Wangji wanted. He was focused on the power struggle that was invading every cell of his body, on controlling the resentful energy before it controlled him. There wasn't room for anything else.
"Please,"
Lan Chan whispered.
"Wei Ying, please, you have to give me something. You have to help me find you. We made a promise that we were going to go back to Cloud Recesses together. You told me you would keep it safe."
That was right, Wei Wuxian recalled. The ribbon. It was clutched in one hand. He could feel the edges of the silver decoration pressing against his fingertips. When had he taken it out? He remembered tucking it into an inner pocket of his robes as soon as he had seen the Wen soldiers, terrified that they would take it from him. He didn't remember taking it out, but it was in his hand now, digging into his skin as he clutched it tightly.
"Lan Chan,"
he thought desperately, and for the first time in hours or days, he opened his eyes. He saw everything. The mountain, the dying plants, the bones. He projected an image of his surroundings with all the strength he had left.
"I'm here."
The moment the image left his body, the dark energy seized him, exploiting his weakness, forcing its way into every corner. He screamed and his body spasmed, and one hand clutched at the ribbon while the other clutched at the sword, and he was suspended. Caught between one thing and the other, unable to fight, unable to surrender, unable to even die. Suddenly, something was driving the darkness back. Bright, blindingly bright, pure spiritual power. It surrounded him, filled him, eased the shudders that rocked his body, thawed the parts of him that were frozen.
"Lan Chan."
"I'm here,"
Lan Wangji said into his mind. Wei Wuxian let himself fall. Lan Wangji caught him before he hit the ground. Lan Wangji was so exhausted when he got to Cloud Recesses that he nearly crash-landed. He could not recall how long he had been awake. It felt like he had been riding the sword for days. And it took more effort, more concentration, when it wasn't his sword. For the last day, or perhaps two, he had been carrying Wei Wuxian, who was uncomfortably dead weight in his arms. He had not stopped to eat or sleep on either his trip to or his trip from the burial mounds, which of course was coming right on the heels of his trip to Lotus Pier. His brief nap there was the only sleep he had gotten in what he thought was as much as 4 days. So when he landed at the relative safety of Cloud Recesses, he nearly passed out before he could get back to his feet. He was home. That would have to be safety enough. "Hong Guanjun," several voices chorused, as disciples gathered around him. Someone's hand was under his elbow, helping him stay on his feet. Someone else pressed a canteen full of water into his hands, and he drank thirstily.
"Wangji,"
Lan Xichen said, emerging from the crowd to take his brother by the shoulders. He looked like he had aged a year in the past few days.
Xiong Chong.
Lan Wengqi said, and held out Cho Yue with shaking hands.
Thank you.
He knew there was more he needed to say, things he needed to explain, but he couldn't think beyond those words.
Thank you.
Let us help you inside,
Lan Xichun said, taking Shou Yue with one hand and his brother's elbow by the other. Lan Wengqi nodded and stumbled after him. A few moments later, he was sitting in the hanshu, and Wei Wuxian was laid out on the floor next to him. Lan Xichun gently touched his wrist and then sucked in a breath.
Wengqi, he...
I know,
Lan Wengqi said, his throat tight and aching.
Core melting hand.
Lan Xichun closed his eyes for a long moment.
Jiang Gongxi, Jiang Gunyang.
They should be safe and on their way.
Then everything else can wait. You need rest now, more than anything else.
Lan Xichun hesitated.
I will take you and Wei Gongxi to the Jingxia if you would like.
Lan Wengqi nodded. It shouldn't have mattered where they were for their convalescence. The Jingxia held a special place in his heart for so long, but he was old enough now to know that it wasn't actually a place of power. Still, the idea of going there eased his heart, for reasons he couldn't name.
Wei Ying is ill. They threw him into the burial mounds.
Did you go in to get him?
Lan Xichun asked, and Lan Wengqi nodded.
Then you will both need to be cleansed of the resentful energy. I will play for you.
Thank you,
Lan Wengqi whispered again. Lan Xichun looked down at Wei Wuxian, looked at the way he was clutching the sword in one hand and the ribbon in the other. Then he stood, lifting Wei Wuxian as if he were a small child.
Can you walk, Wengqi, just a little more?
Lan Wengqi nodded.
That sword, it's the one we found in the Xuan Wu's cave. I tried to leave it behind in the burial mounds. I don't even know how it got there. He didn't have it in Yunmeng when I met up with him. And now he can't let it go. The hand that's holding it seems fused to it somehow.
The resentful energy of the sword has a tight grip on him,
Lan Xichun said as he began to walk. Quietly, he said,
I will be honest with you, Wengqi. I don't know how much we can do for him.
I know. Hopefully Jiang Wanyin has Wen Qing with him. She'll be more experienced with this sort of malady.
Lan Xichun nodded, and they walked the rest of the way in silence. Lan Wengqi reluctantly let his brother take care of Wei Wuxian, laying him down in the bed and doing a quick examination for physical injuries, while he shed his filthy robes and washed up. By the time he was done, he was wavering on his feet. He collapsed to the floor next to Wei Wuxian and drifted off, listening to the melodies from Lan Xichun's Xiao. Lan Wengqi woke up when he heard a soft click somewhere in the room. He sat up abruptly, one hand automatically going for Bichun, only to be hit with the painful memory that he had lost his sword. Fortunately, by then, clarity had set in, and he saw that the noise was nothing more dangerous than his brother setting down a tray with a pot of tea.
Are you awake?
He asked unnecessarily.
Good. You've been sleeping nearly a full day. You need to eat something.
Lan Wengqi turned to look at Wei Wuxian while his brother prepared the food. He looked the same, neither better nor worse, which Lan Wengqi supposed was probably a good thing. His skin was still deathly pale, his face gaunt and hollow. One hand still clutched the sword, the other the ribbon. Lan Wengqi reached out and gently touched the fabric. Wei Wuxian's breathing was steady, but his skin was cold. Lan Wengqi felt for his pulse. It was surprisingly fast, given his lack of movement, fluttering underneath Lan Wengqi's fingers like a panicky bird.
Here, Lan Wangji said, putting down a plate of food and a cup of tea. Lan Wangji began to eat hungrily. One of the juniors spotted four people coming up the road from Chai Town. Two men and two women. I would presume it is Jiang Gongxi and the others. They should be here within the hour. Lan Wangji nodded, still eating. I'll bring them here when they arrive, Lan Xichen said. Oh, and I brought your Gutian, in case you wanted to play for him. I played my Xiao for several hours, but... He looked away, his face troubled. It did not seem to have any effect on his condition, although it has much improved yours. Lan Wangji said again. Then, thank you. Lan Xichen nodded. I'll be back soon. Lan Wangji finished eating, drank three cups of tea, and washed his face. Then he studied Wei Wuxian in more detail. The sword was clutched in one hand, but when he tried, for at least the 10th time, to remove it, he couldn't. Wei Wuxian's fingers were stubbornly curved around it and would not bend. If he tried to slide it free, it refused to budge. His other hand, by contrast, was limp and easily pliable. He could have taken his ribbon back with minimal effort, although he chose not to. The metal of the sword was as cold as ice, and Lan Wangji was concerned about the prolonged contact, but he didn't know what to do about it. He thought about trying to wake him, but decided against it, at least until Wen Qing had arrived and could give him some practical advice. He could see the drifts of negative energy that came out of it, twisting around Wei Wuxian, moving in and out of him with the pattern of his breaths. It was terrifying to watch. He knew how powerful his brother was. There was no evil he had ever been unable to exercise. He could feel that he himself was completely cleansed of the resentful energy that had infiltrated him during his brief time in the burial mounds. Why had it not worked for Wei Wuxian? There was a quiet knock on the door, and Lan Xichen came back in. They're outside, he said. I've tried to prepare them for his condition, but... His voice trailed off. Lan Wangji merely nodded and stood, vacating the space next to Wei Wuxian's bed.
Let his siblings see him first.
As you wish. Lan Xichen went to the door and slid it open. Jiang Gongxi, Jiang Gunyang, please come in. Jiang Yanli all but ran in and threw herself down at Wei Wuxian's bedside. Asian, Asian, she whispered, reaching out to caress his face. Her hand jerked backwards, and she looked up at Lan Wangji in horror. He's so cold. Lan Wangji nodded and said nothing. Jiang Cheng knelt next to her, squeezing her shoulder and examining his brother. He shuddered slightly. Is he even really alive? He choked out. His heart is beating and his breathing is stable, Lan Xichen said. But the resentful energy from the burial mounds has infiltrated deeply into him. I do not know if he will be able to recover. I would suggest we let Wen Gunyang see him and follow her recommendations. Jiang Cheng nodded.
Ajie, come on, you need to rest.
Can I not stay? Jiang Yanli pleaded. Or at least come back once Wen Gunyang has treated him? Why don't you wait in the pavilion? Lan Xichen suggested. If Wen Gunyang says you can visit afterwards, that should be fine.
Crying softly, Jiang Yanli allowed her brother to help her to her feet and escort her out of the Jingxia. A moment later, Wen Qing came in. She was as calm and collected as always, but she paled slightly when she saw Wei Wuxian's condition.
Where did that sword come from?
The Xuanwu's cave,
Lan Wangji said. Wen Qing immediately did the same as Lan Wangji had done in the burial mounds, reached out and tried to pry Wei Wuxian's hand from it. Like Lan Wangji, she met with no success. Her lips compressed into a thin, unhappy line.
Do you know what that is?
I know it's filled with resentful energy, Lan Wangji said.
She stared at them.
This is yin iron.
Lan Wangji stared back and then said cautiously,
How?
Sui Yang, she said and shook her head. We knew he had hidden a piece. Wen Rohan was furious with him, and he didn't report in after he massacred the Chang clan and escaped the unclean realm, which is all he wanted in the first place.
She rubbed both hands over her face. Help me with it. Unsure of what she wanted, but hoping she had an idea, Lan Wangji knelt beside her. At her direction, he pulled the sword toward himself, so Wei Wuxian was no longer holding it against his chest, but his arm was flung outward. Wen Qing took out a needle and pressed it into the underside of Wei Wuxian's wrist. His hand contracted, then loosened, and Lan Wangji was able to slide the sword free.
I will take it to the cold pond cave, Lan Xichen said immediately. It should be safe enough there until we've decided what to do with it. Thank you, Xiong Chong.
Lan Wangji said, handing him the sword. He felt some of the tension leave his body. He couldn't say why the way Wei Wuxian had clutched the sword made him so uneasy, but he was definitely happier with it gone. Wen Qing took a deep breath.
Now, she said, let me have some time to examine my patient and attempt some of the usual curatives. Please wait outside with Jiang Gongxi and the others.
She saw Lan Wangji hesitate and sighed quietly.
I didn't come all this way to kill him, Han Guanjun, although it might be better for everyone if I did, especially him. Wei Wuxian is someone my brother cares for very much. He would never forgive me if I harmed him.
Lan Wangji nodded and stood. I will wait with the others.
Outside, Wen Ying was pacing anxiously. Jiang Cheng seemed utterly exhausted, which didn't surprise Lan Wangji. He was slumped against the Jingxia gate. Jiang Yanli had curled up with her head in his lap and had fallen asleep. Minutes ticked by. Lan Wangji sat with his legs folded underneath himself, meditating. It felt strange to meditate now, without Wei Wuxian's hum of thoughts in the back of his head. It had taken less than 2 weeks to get so accustomed to it that its absence now seemed painful.
Lan Xichen returned and reassured them that the sword was safely hidden. He sat down and began to meditate as well.
It was nearly 2 hours before Wen Qing came out. She looked tired, and Wen Ying immediately helped her onto one of the benches, while the others clustered around her, waiting for an update.
The bad news, she said, is that there's nothing I can do for him.
Jiang Cheng made a noise of protest. Wen Qing held up her hand and said,
The good news is, there is a chance he will recover. How should I explain this?
She closed her eyes for a long moment.
None of my usual treatments will work for his condition because it is different from what I know how to treat. When Rohan uses the yin iron, yes, the resentful energy affects his physical and mental health. But when Rohan is not Wei Wuxian.
Well, obviously, but... Jiang Cheng protested.
Wei Wuxian has lost his golden core, Wen Qing reminded them. The treatments I use on Wen Rohan... They're about balance. Inside him, the resentful energy struggles for control with his golden core. The treatments are to balance the two, make sure the yin never overcomes the yang. But Wei Wuxian has no golden core. There is nothing to balance the resentful energy against. It has already filled all the spaces where his golden core should be.
Then what can be done?
Jiang Yanli asked tearfully. If Asian has no yang energy, how can he survive?
That is the point exactly, Wen Qing said. Wei Wuxian has no golden core, but he does still have yang energy.
He has will to live, his strength of mind. These are things that even the average person has. Right now, that is what is struggling against the resentful energy. I cannot provide any treatment that will help him. Ultimately, this is a battle that Wei Wuxian must fight for himself. He will either win or lose on his own terms. Silence sat in the courtyard for a long minute.
May we see him?
Jiang Yanli asked, wiping her eyes. Yes. In fact, I recommend someone be with him at all times. I believe he will know you're there. Talk to him. Touch him. Play music for him. Remind him of what he has to live for. That will help as much as anything I can do. Jiang Yanli was already halfway back to the Jingxia before Wen Qing was finished speaking. Jiang Cheng got up to follow her, then stopped and turned and bowed to Wen Qing. Thank you, Wen Kunyang. Thank you so much. Then he turned and ran after his sister. After another moment of silence, Lan Xichen said,
Wen Kunyang, thank you. For both your knowledge and your courage, would you sit down with me to perhaps further discuss what you know of the Yin Iron and Wen Rohan?
Wen Qing appeared to struggle with this for a long moment, but in the end, the fact that Lan Xichen phrased it as a question and not an order seemed to win her over. She nodded and said,
Yes.
Lan Wangji stood as they turned to go.
Xiongcheng, he said, should I accompany you?
No, Lan Xichen said. Stay here with Wei Gongxi. I'll send someone for you if I need you.
Lan Wangji nodded.
Thank you.
The courtyard was silent. Wen Ying scuffed his foot against the stone pathway and said,
I can make some tea?
Lan Wangji said, and headed back into the Jingxia.